This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
After the hour, it's the Thursday program. How do you do? It differs from yesterday's program because yesterday was Wednesday. And it'll differ a lot from the Friday program because tomorrow's Friday. Who knows what opportunities will present themselves for us to discuss as we move forward. Certainly, I don't advise you look back because it doesn't do any good. Eyes on the prize, which is right now. Put yourself in the winning mode. Jennifer Horn has done that. Victoria Keelan has done that. I'm Doug Steffen doing that as well. So the situation, as the nation talks more about the police and the outshoots of the Breonna Taylor thing, is there anything new? It's kind of like politics and a lot of the other stories that are kind of stagnant in my mind. I mean, this happened yesterday, the grand jury stuff. But is there, it's kind of the same old. Police are exonerated, and so we move on, and there's, big blow up out there. People are upset. The governor has refused to do what, I don't know.
Let's talk about the story, because I think for people who are just catching up, overnight, there were two police officers who were shot in Louisville as protesters and violence hit the streets to rally against the death of Breonna Taylor. After a news conference that was held, there were reports that came out on social media that a third police officer may have been injured. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not, but certainly there are two police victims that were confirmed by authorities, both treated at a hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. There was a short news conference late last night about that. One police officer is alert and stable. The other is currently undergoing surgery and stable, according to a police spokesperson. One was shot in the abdomen below the bulletproof vest. The other was shot in the thigh. That happened in Louisville overnight. Now, all of this is an offshoot. The National Guard was on standby for these, for what turned into riots, a lot of destruction, property damage, and that sort of thing. After the announcement by the Attorney General yesterday that a grand jury had come to the conclusion that indictments, three of them, would be levied against one of the officers, but the outrage for many is that none of the indictments were related to the actual death of Breonna Taylor. It was for basically firing bullets into nearby apartments and endangering other people. Now, I think there needs to be a distinction drawn. We don't know what evidence was presented to the grand jury at this point. The grand jury's report is going to come out, so we will know that at some point. But they saw evidence that made them rule in a certain way that there should be indictments or not. And I think it's really difficult for all of us because we're all emotional about something like this. I think the majority of people believe that Breonna Taylor should be alive today. I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't agree with that statement.
No disagreement here. Yep.
But the question is, what evidence did they see, and was this a mistake, an awful mistake? Was this something purposeful happening here? We need to get to the bottom of what the grand jury saw that led them not to push any indictments on the death of Breonna Taylor.
All right, so I asked you a question when we get started. May I suggest that one of the answers to the question that I asked has come from the mind and mouth of Rand Paul, who says the best way to avoid another situation like this is to ban no-knock raids. What do we think of that idea?
Well, that's what Louisville did.
Well, I'm talking about
Breonna Taylor.
Universally. Let's look around the country. I think he's maybe referring, I don't know, the speculation, because it has happened there. What about elsewhere?
I think it has happened in other places around the country. I think that there is a trend.
Is it the rule
that
now, pretty much, or what's the...
I don't know. It's state by state. It's town by town, I think, at this point. It's really hard. I agree, by and large, I'm not a fan of the no-knock warrant, but I think there are times that I would imagine they're useful. I'm not a legal person, but I would imagine if you have something going on where someone is being held hostage, or you have something where, there's something where you're trying to rescue someone, you don't want to necessarily knock on the door and say, hey, can you come outside for a second? So I do think under extenuating circumstances, right, there are issues, obviously, that would come up that would make that really hard to carry out, but I think by and large for something like this, especially with drug charges, I don't know why in this case that would be appropriate, but there is a witness who said he did hear the police identify himself, and the police say they identified themselves. So who knows?
Yeah. All right, next, the debates. The moderator is Chris Wallace. Apparently he's talking about what he's going to present as questions. Is that a surprise, or sometimes do they do that? Do the moderators say, okay, I'm going to ask...
release the broad topics, I think, just because...
So that they can prepare? Is that, you know, preparing for the debates, if they have the questions? Is
maybe.
That
they're not getting the questions at all. What they're getting are the topics. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that what you see, so that you don't have debates kind of stepping all over each other with the same boring questions, you have some debates that are going to go on foreign policy, some that are on domestic policy. What Chris Wallace is doing is basically domestic policy. So he's going to do COVID-19. He's going to do the economy. He's going to do race relations. So
if
I would
you were there on the panel,
one that's on foreign affairs,
or if you were going to be a questioner, both of you, Jennifer, Victoria, Jennifer, what question would you ask of both of these men at the debate?
Well, I would ask different questions to both of them. So the question that I would ask Joe Biden is, what would you do differently? Because he's going out there and talking a lot about... Yeah, he's talking all about how Trump screwed things up. Well, okay, Trump screwed things up. What would you do differently? And I'm not hearing anything except a mask mandate. And that's unconstitutional probably at best. So I would ask him that. I'd ask him for real legislation because I feel like he's very weak on the details. And I would ask President Trump, given today, we know what your economic future, you know, you did good things with the economy, but today you're starting from scratch. What are you going to do today with probably a very divided situation? How are you going to work with Democrats to try to get us out of trouble? And how will you be able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would ask him, because I think his problem is he's not going to get cooperation. And Biden's problem is that he's not giving any real answers. He's just throwing insults.
All right. So then, Victoria, what would you ask of the two candidates if you were Chris Wallace?
Well, I'm kind of, not to steal Jen's questions, but I think that her question for Trump is a really good one. And I agree. I want some more details on not just COVID, but I want more details from Biden on his environmental plans. I want to know more about, you know, he's talked about bringing steel workers back and having American steel, you know, getting manufacturing going again. So I'd like some more details on how that will affect the workforce. And also, I'd ask about farmers. We already know Trump, you know, I think that's a wasted question on Trump, but I'm more interested to see how Joe Biden plans to support family farmers.
I think that would be my question, frankly.
Because in the first round of debates...
And why did you choose Kamala Harris? I'd like to know the answer to that.
Well, he's already talked about that.
Well, I want to know.
We know the, but that's everywhere. We already know that the answer to that. So, but I want to know what is his plan, and especially, you know, my ties to the American Family Farmer Show that, you know, that you host. That's, mm-hmm. I think that's something we only heard Mayor Pete in those initial debates where 17 people were on stage. Really, Mayor Pete was the only one who consistently mentioned agriculture and farming. And, you know, we know that farmers are in a huge crisis right now. So that's something that I'd like to press Biden on.
Speaking of what went on, that's kind of during the presidential, the primary sweepstakes, and who was on the stage, Bloomberg getting a lot of attention because he wants to pay the fines off for felons in Florida to fix Joe's problem, because Joe has a problem, apparently getting enough votes. So what is there to guarantee that all these felons and people that are going to vote for Joe Biden?
Nothing. That's not even a guarantee that they're going to register to vote. So there's nothing there other than I think that, you know, Mayor Bloomberg was my mayor for a long time, and that I think that is something, paying off those fines after you've served your time, that's something that I agree with. I don't think that felons, once you serve your time, should also be strapped with so much debt that they can't even afford housing, and it's the cycle of poverty just continues. And I think for
then
him
why
to
not do it after the election? Why doesn't he pay off their fees like on November 5th?
I'm just saying I agree with the action.
My birthday. Happy birthday.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's... Do I think it's going to move the needle in terms of, like, the election? Absolutely not. But I still think it's a good thing that he's doing.
Well, right. I think it's a great thing for the right reasons, but I don't believe he's doing them for the right reasons. Because at the time,
yeah,
I don't really care, honestly.
Head.
Because, yeah, I mean, and honestly,
what if
like
I went out and started buying Trump votes? I mean, people would go apoplectic. So you're
well, that's
go
not
out
buying
and
a vote. Sure. There's no guarantee. No, Jen, I just said
back.
there's no guarantee that the felons are even going to register
Jennifer,
for vote.
The fact that farmers are now being addressed again by the administration, if you don't think Trump's trying to buy rural American votes with the announcement of another $14 billion supposedly going to family farmers after the family farmer has been screwed 35 times from Sunday by the previous money.
Everybody tries to influence
I'm just
votes.
It's politics.
With our taxpayer money.
If Trump went in, well, yeah, then that's unfortunately.
Well, Bloomberg's using his own money.
He's using his own money, but I'm telling you right now, the distinction would be if a donor, like a big business donor from Las Vegas, started handing out money with Trump's face on it, I can guararantee you there would be a problem.
Trump's dollar bill.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Bloomberg's not handing out Biden dollar bills.
But that's why he's doing it, Victoria. That's the motivation.
Okay, well, whatever. So, I still think it's a good
idea.
I mean,
if he does it
next
month, like in 2 months, great.
Before the this business about Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying and what was going to happen maybe in the future to replace her, now that there is a path, there seems to be a direction, Nancy Pelosi says, nope, you can't do that, and if you dare do it, we're going to impeach you again. Huh?
Wait, what?
How's that? She's threatening to impeach Trump if he moves to have the Supreme Court justice put in place or voted on before the election. You haven't seen that?
No. Have you seen this,
really?
Ben? What's your source on this?
I have absolutely seen it. She said it herself on the Sunday shows. She said, I have lots of arrows in my quiver. And
I heard that quote,
on the table.
Yes.
And so what she's talking about is impeachment. That there's a very real conversation that they'll impeach Trump for doing this.
How do they do that if he's got 5 minutes left in the... If he,
and this just proves that, all this impeachment stuff is all political. It has nothing to do with what's right or wrong.
Unga bunga. All right. One final note here of interest for those of you who wonder how many times a week you smile because you're on candid camera. Apparently 238 is the magic number. Right? Average American recorded by security cameras. The average American, 238 times a week. How do you like that?
Wait, they do what? I'm so confused. Wait, what?
The average American is recorded by some security camera someplace where he or she is walking or driving.
I thought you were literally talking about how many times a week someone smiles. That was confusing.
No, I'm smiling.
Okay, so caught on
camera. Caught on camera, security cameras, 238 times a week.
Right. Well,
what do
we
think of that?
Yeah, well, it is what it is. If people don't like it, then you know, then it gets into the debate of law and order and all that other stuff. So we live with security cameras everywhere.
Well, we've become a police state. We are a police state. Here's the effective way for you to lose weight, get rid of that lymph drainage that you have in your neck and your shoulders and your stomach. Your hips and your thighs. Yep, it's called cellulite. Would you like to see it go bye-bye? That's a good idea. You can go to toploss.com and figure out how you can do that with the help of Calitrim, America's number one weight loss formula that is all natural. No stimulants, no drugs. I keep repeating that because I think it's the most effective way to get your attention. No stimulants. You're not going to get most of the people who've ever been at any kind of a weight loss program have gotten the jitters. They get all nerved up because there's so much caffeine. Your body goes wacko. Calitrin is all natural, good for you, drug and stimulant free, doesn't interfere with any medications that you may have or any prior health conditions. It's just good for you. So let's lose the weight. If you get on the program, go to toploss.com, use the code DJV at checkout. You don't have to pay any shipping. So if you decide you want to buy a 3 or 4 or 5 months' worth and get an equal number free, and you're having a hard time paying for it, they got a payment plan for you, too. Really there to help you out. It's toploss.com. Check that out. 21 past the hour.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
I guess they got no way of knowing just how lonely I can be. There's Ricky Nelson. Get started with our Throwback Thursday experience. Top five songs from this week in 1962. I was a sophomore in high school. 1962, when all of this stuff was big. And number five tune was from Ricky Nelson. He had a dozen number ones. He was the teenage girls loved him. He was on the Ozzy and Harriet show. Victoria, do you even know what Ozzy and Harriet? Did you ever hear of Ozzy and Harriet? Ask Prince and Nancy if you didn't.
Yeah, I you're gonna laugh. I have heard of Ozzy and Harriet. I don't know what it is or who they are, but I have heard of them. Are they them? I don't even know.
Ricky Nelson's mother and father, and there was a television show about the family, Ozzy and Harriet, with a father. It was Rick Nelson and his brother, and Rick was the one who really made it big as a result of the exposure. He was the youngest, the younger of the two boys. And a lot of big songs, simple, sweet songs like this, basically. That was what he was known for. All right, so that's number five this week as we take our Throwback Thursday experience from this week in 1962 to a magic time when instrumentals were very popular. This is Booker T and the MGs with I don't know why it was called Green Onions. I never got to the bottom of that, but that's what it is. Number four. And it's just this riff over and over and over again. That's it. You've heard it. You like it or not, Victoria?
I've heard this, sure, in movies and stuff. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Okay. I never knew what it was called, to be honest. I never knew
Green
who did it.
Green Onions.
Which is weird.
All right, Booker T. He had a number of hits, actually. He was a good instrumentalist. Number three, Sheila Said She Loved Me. She said she'd never leave me. True love would never die. That's my Bill Shatner impression of Sheila. Number three this week, Tommy Rowe. Crank it up, Bill.
Girl is fine. Never knew a girl like a little Sheila. Her name drives me.
Have you heard this song before?
I think so.
Sweet little girl. She's mine. She's fine. Me and Sheila. Terrible English, by the way. Should be Sheila and I. It wouldn't work in the song, right? All right, it's 25 after the hour. Music portion of this hour of the DJV program on Thursdays belongs to songs that are big in history. Number two. Song had been around all summer. 1962 was number one the week before. It became number two. It was number two on its way to number one, and number two when it left number one. Nat King Cole. All right, here you go, Phil.
Wild and wind blown.
Fabulous song. I used to sing this song all the time in the car. There was something about this song.
And you were in high school?
When I was in high school.
See, yep. This is what I don't understand. This is the most boring music for teenagers to listen to.
Oh, come on.
No, but think about it. When you were a sophomore in high school, like, this is what you were listening to?
Yeah.
There's no rock. There's no
wait
tempo.
A minute.
There's
all right,
no...
hold on a second.
There's nothing.
You want rock?
This is so boring.
You want tempo? Number one. Here we go.
Oh, God. This is worse.
The Fabuloso Four Seasons. This song was number one, not one week in a row, two, three, four, 5 weeks at number one, Baby.
No wonder the British Invasion came along and knocked everybody sideways. Because it was some good music, some rock and roll for teenagers.
Come
how did you guys get rid
tonight.
Of your teenage angst?
Really?
Listening to this?
All right, come on, crank it up, Phil. Never mind.
Okay, yeah, let's listen to that terrible music.
Terrible music.
Awful.
Can you come out tonight, Sherry? Sherry, baby. Don't you come on. Gonna have a twist party. Oh, my God. All right, there they are, the top five songs this week in 1962. Make you a mine.
Do you have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back? Take the 5-question gut check to see if it could be more than occasional constipation. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess is not a laxative. It works differently. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements.
Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Talk to your doctor about whether Linzess is right for you. Go to Linzess.com to take the 5-question gut check. That's Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
When everything is changing, you need a store that's a constant. A store that has the brands your family loves and the value that you need. A store where you can stock up, pick up, and drive up. A store that's close to home and feels like home. A store that puts the health and safety of you and your family above all else. And a store that's always here to help. At Kohl's, we don't know what next year will look like. We just know that we'll be here for you no matter what. Kohl's, here today, here to stay. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Protests, some of them turning violent, held in several cities overnight since Kentucky's Attorney General announced yesterday that none of the 3 Louisville police officers who fired their guns during a deadly no-knock warrant drug raid will be charged with Breonna Taylor's death. One officer is facing endangerment charges after bullets he fired entered a neighboring apartment during that raid in March. At a protest in Chicago last night,
a message is sent again in America that black and brown lives mean nothing.
2 officers shot in Louisville there during a protest are expected to survive. President Trump not committing to a normal transition of power after November's election if he was to lose, suggesting there are problems with mail-in ballots, saying they'll lead to voter fraud. This is USA Radio News.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hours ahead of his visit, supporters are already lined up to get a glimpse of President Trump as he's due in Jacksonville, Florida for a speech this evening at Cecil Airport. The appearance not scheduled till 7 Eastern time, but dozens of fans were already there as of 5 a.m. The president hoping to be in Jacksonville last month to have given his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention, but that event was canceled because of COVID-19. 4 polls of Florida voters coming out yesterday showing just how tight the November election could be as Trump leads in one poll, trails in 2, and is tied with Joe Biden in the other. No candy, no chips, and no soda is what shoppers could find when they unload their grocery carts in the city of Berkeley, California soon. It's believed to be the first city in the nation to ban junk food from checkout lines. Proponents of that new ordinance say sugary and salty snacks and other foods are usually placed there purposely so kids will press their parents to buy it as they're checking out. Only items with 5 grams of added sugars or a specific amount of sodium will be allowed when the new rules begin in March. They won't be fully enforced until January of 2022. And Kraft Heinz is unveiling pumpkin spice mac and cheese. It's only going to be available, though, in Canada, and they'll only make 1,000 boxes. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Now, 34 minutes after the hour, this is the DJV program. Doug Steffen, Victoria Keelan in this half hour of the program. Throwing open the doors of conversation, what's going on? I suppose the question that's appropriate as we get closer into holiday season starts with Halloween and then Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff. So what are you doing on New Year's Eve, Victoria?
I have no idea. I'm guessing probably staying at home and watching the ball drop. And that's pretty much how everyone is going to see it if you are watching the ball drop from Times Square in New York City, because this year it will be virtual. So there will be no crowds, and they will have an extremely limited group of in-person honorees, they say. They will be socially distanced. They will reflect the themes, challenges, and inspirations of 2020. But other than that, it looks like we are not going to see the big crowds of people, you know, they're all packed in like sardines.
Like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, right? Same thing.
But like on steroids, it's so many more people and it's so much more packed in. And if you have ever been to Times Square for New Year's Eve, which I don't recommend as a New Yorker, I do not recommend it. We all, New Yorkers, run away from Times Square in general. But on New Year's Eve, it's even worse because you go in hours and hours before anything starts. And once you're in, you can't leave. I mean, it is so gross. There are no bathrooms. It's cold. Yeah. And people literally, like, you see them peeing in cups and bottles and stuff. Yeah. It's just, it's disgusting. So anyway, so that won't be eliminated this year.
What do you really think?
I have no problems with that. So, yeah, they said, Mayor de Blasio said, There will be significantly new and enhanced virtual, visual, and digital offerings to complement whatever limited live entertainment or experiences, or which is still in development. They're still trying to plan this out.
So where's Ryan going to be?
We'll see Ryan Seacrest there. We'll see probably some limited performances, maybe spaced out around the city, because they don't want to do anything that's going to attract a live crowd. So when the MTV VMAs happened a couple weeks ago, they had the performances staged in a really creative way. They had them on top of skyscrapers, and they had performances in Brooklyn and sound stages, and they did it really well. So I think
lots of producing a show like that.
Lots of moving parts and a ton of production. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that it'll end up being kind of cool. And look, at this point, we're all used to seeing stuff that doesn't have an audience, right? I mean, we're all used to that.
Yeah.
Watching The Masked Singer last night, everyone is virtual. The whole audience is virtual. NBA, it's all virtual audiences, all the sports stuff. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal for New Year's Eve. It'll be a bummer for people who like to stand, you know, in that crowd. But other than that, I think it'll be fine.
There you go. All right, that's New Year's Eve in America. New Year's Eve in China will be ringing in something new. They've changed the way the state-run news agency presents their nightly news. They have a new member that's going to be on the air starting the first of the year. It is a fake news anchor. It's not a journalist. It's an illusion, a digital composite model of someone who looks like a newsman.
Huh.
No name. The voice is quite, according to this anyway, arbitrarily fake. And the state basically doesn't need a person. They have controlled the news now artificially with a robot delivering the news. That'll be good. That's what the world needs is a robot. Well, some of them look like when they do their hair. Today, the announcement comes from the Metropolitan Opera. We're talking about what's going on. The Met is the largest performing arts organization in the United States. They say they will not reopen the rest of this year and sometime into next year. So a lot of art programs and stuff following the lead of the Met. That probably is the number one artistic venue and organization in New York, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
The Met?
Yeah, it's...
They set the tone?
We are opera lovers, and when we lived in the city, we would go to the opera.
You and your... Lewis?
Yeah, my husband and I.
Lewis likes the opera?
Oh, yeah. He's a New Yorker. Like, he grew up in Queens, and after school trips were often to the Met Opera to watch them rehearse and things. So that's sort of the benefit of being in any of the five boroughs. It's just so much art and culture that's accessible to everyone. So, we're opera fans, and we usually go at least once a season. And they've been sending a lot of donation requests out because they are really hurting. It's going to be tough.
Culture for me is a picture, a portrait of my cow over the living room fireplace. That's culture, real culture.
I wouldn't put that on a Tinder profile, but okay.
Okay. I don't have a Tinder profile, but thanks for the suggestion.
For a dating profile. Culture to me is a picture of a cow.
It is time for us to acknowledge one of the most interesting stories of the last 50 years. The relationship between Brian Piccolo and Gail Sayers. Do you know anything about that, Victoria? Have you ever heard of the movie Brian's Song?
I've heard of the movie Brian's Song. I have no idea what it's about.
Gail Sayers, a football player for the Chicago Bears, and his friend Brian Piccolo, also a player with the Chicago Bears, they were great friends as players. The movie Brian's Song, which I believe, if I remember correctly, starred Billy Dee Williams playing Gail Sayers, and James Caan played Brian Piccolo. I don't hold me to that, but I think that's what I remember. The movie became one of the saddest experiences of that era because of the way the story was told. It was a fabulously well-done portrayal of a great friendship between two men. And Gail Sayers died yesterday at the age of 77. He had dementia, Alzheimer's disease. And you go one step further with that. Because of the years he played football, a lot of people thought that the reason he had dementia and Alzheimer's was because of the hits that he took while he was playing football. And that probably is true. I would guess that that's the last chapter of Brian's song. But Brian Piccolo and Gail Stanton, it was just the way that was portrayed was wonderful. And you couldn't help but Jack Warden was in that movie. Bernie Casey was in the movie. But it was about the real-life relationship between the two of these guys and how Gail Sayers sort of came to his aid. You know, there was a certain racial component to this. Remember the year is 1977. there wasn't a lot of still open-minded thinking, even in sports circles. So anyway, I just thought I would acknowledge that because Sayers was, as soon as I saw that, I thought of Brian's song and how wonderfully well that was presented at a time when we kind of needed that course in reality. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about it. Yeah. Speaking about a course in reality, the discussion that we've been having lately about what's going on in California, Victoria, with the fires and power and the announcement from the governor that they're going to require in the next 15, 20 years all the cars that are sold in California to be electric. And, of course, there's no real way to power them because they don't have enough electricity now. And nobody seems to bring this back up again, and I don't know why. In fact, atomic power faded away decades ago, but there are, in California and elsewhere, a new band of supporters that are arguing that it is still our best source of clean, reliable, safe electricity. And I've always thought that. I've always thought that the news media completely overdid the dangers of nuclear power, and they all point to Fukuyama, whatever that place in Japan where they had all the trouble. It's where you build them. It's how well you build them. The whole business about solar power, great. Wind power, yep, get a lot of federal and state subsidies. But the standards that are being set for utilities will not allow, you know, they can't build these solar and wind power facilities fast enough. But nuclear power, if it's done correctly, especially when you compare it to what happens with coal and other things that are horrible for the environment,
yeah,
it's cleaner, it's safer, it's cheap, 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 cheap.
But the problem, though, is that
accident at Three Mile Island back in 79 is what much, and Chernobyl. But the
right.
Chernobyl plant was built out of cardboard.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I don't
anyway,
know. Yeah, but in Japan, though, what was that? Was it 2000?
Seven or eight.
17?
Oh, was 16? It that recent?
Yeah. Yeah, it was while I've been on this show. So there was, and part of the problem is now they don't know how to dispose of the waste. And their answer is basically dumping it in the Pacific Ocean. And that seems to be the best thing that they've come up with, which is horrific.
Not
that will have,
idea.
Yeah. And then the other thing is,
dig a hole and bury it. That's some, you can get a, drill a hole down deep. It isn't, the waste isn't that, there isn't that much of it when you consider how little, you know, these rods are not that big, and when they're spent.
Part of the problem, too, I was reading something about this in National Geographic, which has kind of become my new thing again.
I used to
read it as a kid, and now I enjoy reading it now. But part of the problem is because of global warming and the ice caps melting, they used to bury the rods in glaciers. And now with all of the melting, those rods are exposed again, and they have to move them. That's another part of the problem. It's where to bury that waste. And if they can come up with a safe way to keep it contained, then sure. I just don't know that anyone has really solved that
problem.
Well,
I think that's part of what needs to be studied.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at if you go around the world and you see electricity generation, how much of it is coal, for example, is 40%. Gas, natural gas, 23%. Hydroelectricity. Another thing, why did they stop with hydro? The turbines at Hoover Dam, for example, are not operating at full capacity. And wherever there is a dam, there ought to be, I mean, we here in New England generated most of our electricity with hydroelectric. These plants along the rivers, every town had its own hydroelectric plant. in their community because these mills and stuff created their own power. And I don't understand why that's gone by the wayside, frankly. I just don't, other than the lobbyists for gas and coal and oil. And only 4% of what we generate is oil-based anyway. About 10-11% is nuclear. And so, you know, again, I wonder, because it is so clean when you think about it, if it's done well, why can't we do things well? Why can't we think things through? Mm-hmm. Not do it cheap, do it well. France produces 72% of its power with nuclear power plants. The Ukraine, 55%. Germany, 12%. England, 20%. Sweden, 40%. Russia, 18%. South Korea, 27%. Canada, about 15%. 20% of our power is made with nuclear plants.
So we're already at 20%?
Yes.
So we were
at 40% before they started closing all of these plants down, because the activists said, you know, okay, this is bad for the reason that you outlined, and that's a concern. Get it. But I can't believe with all the smart minds that we have in the world, we can't figure out a way to get rid of this stuff in a way that is going to be satisfactory and still used. I think this is the answer. Just do. It certainly would eliminate all these damn fires that you get from the likes of PG&E. All right. Anyway, that's my read on what we ought to do. And then, what does the minister say at the end? And here endeth the morning lesson. 47 at the hour on the DJV program.
Hi, Ellie Krieger here. I always think of fall as getting back into a routine, whatever that is these days. But no matter what, I like to keep my menu fresh, fun, and simple. I use fun little taste surprises to level up my fall favorites. I like to add a pop of flavor and nutrition by incorporating more fresh in-season produce. And one of my favorites is grapes from California. Did you know that California grapes are in season from May into January? All three colors, red, green, and black, are a tasty way to add healthy polyphenols and other antioxidants, potassium, and vitamin K to your diet. So take the classic avocado toast. It's great on its own, but I've leveled it up by brightening the creamy avocado with a little lemon juice, and I've added a pop of crunchy, sweet grapes. It's a fun twist you're going to love. For more leveling up your fall favorites, go to grapesfromcalifornia.com.
Stock up to support your family's immune health with Ester C, a superior form of vitamin C. Ester C lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C, and it's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support. So don't just settle for regular vitamin C. Look for Ester C on the label when you shop for your family's immune health. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It can be difficult to notice that your brain may not be functioning as well as it used to. The signs of aging can be subtle. But now it's easy to do something about it. Help your brain with Prevagen. In a clinical trial, a subgroup of adults with mild age-related cognitive impairment taking only one Prevagen a day were shown to improve in measures related to memory. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Fall is a season that's a little in the middle. It's sort of the best of two seasons. It's no longer a sweaty summer, but the winter chill is still around the corner. And that's the perfect time to feed and seed your lawn with Scott's Turf Builder. Even better than spring. Because the soil is still warm, but the air is getting cool. So your lawn gets the most nutrients in the best combination of temperatures. Feed and seed now with Scott's Turf Builder. And build the best lawn for every season. Scott's, it's good out here.
Whether classes in school, at home, or a little bit of both, school goes on.
And Staples has everything you need to start the year right.
From lap desks to notebooks, noise-canceling headphones to UV sanitizers.
And all at amazing prices. This week, notebooks and rulers are just 25 cents each.
Now that's a back-to-school deal you don't want to miss. Shop in-store, order online, or pick up curbside. School on, save on at Staples.
Ends 9/26. Limit 30. Limits vary online. While supplies last, curbside available in most stores.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Drama. This is drama. There you go. Chuck Curry not with us today on Movie Moments. 53 after the hour on the DJV program. Victoria and I have culled some interesting movie news, not the least of which the suggestion from 2001 A Space Odyssey, the next Space Odyssey, courtesy of Tom Cruise, the Space Shuttle Almanac, sharing photos of Tom Cruise and the pilot and the producer of that new movie that basically is a in space while actually being filmed in space. And we were talking earlier about how it seems so appropriate, Victoria, that Cruise is the one doing it. It does seem to make a lot of... I mean, who else would you put up there? I mean, Kevin Bacon? Would you put him up there? Would you put Tom Hanks up there? Nah.
I think just for the action and adrenaline junkie aspect, Tom Cruise is, it makes total sense that he'd be the first civilian actor to be doing this. Yeah. It's interesting, NASA statement saying that they're excited to work with Tom Cruise on the film and that it will actually be filmed on board the space station.
Right.
Which is really cool. So that's, they're going to start filming in orbit in October of 2021.
One of the things that I have often alluded to when it came to the space program, my friend Jay Honeycutt, who ran Kennedy Space Center for 4.5 years and ran the space program before that, he was responsible for getting a lot of movies and TV programs done on the Cape. One of them was the movie with Bacon, Tom Hanks, and who was the other one that was in that movie about, I think it was Apollo 13, and they filmed the actual, the what seemed to be the weightless segments of the movie were actually filmed while they were literally weightless in what they call the vomit comet. The vomit comet is an old Boeing 7.
That's a training thing, right?
Yep. Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's an old 707. Every astronaut has to train in the vomit comet. As a matter of fact, the guy that ran Houston, this is how I got to know Jay Honeycutt, Florida, because I had been in Houston at the Space Center there, and the guy who was running the Space Center wanted me to go up in the vomit comet and tape my experience. But I was told by a couple of guys on the side that I wouldn't like the experience because it's a miserable ride. And Tom Hanks said that about when they filmed all those weightless things. You will. They call it the Vomit Comet because it goes straight up to 50,000 feet and then nosedives. That's how they create the weightlessness.
Oh,
they go
my
up
gosh.
There, and then it nosedives down to 10,000 feet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's why they, that sounds horrendous.
I was so not for it. Taking that ride, man. But those guys did it. Bacon did it. He tells the story about, you know, they just, all they did was throw up when they went. And they had to practice it four or five times before they could actually film it. So they kept throwing up until they had nothing in their stomach.
They spent the
whole day going up and down in the 707 for the weightless. Yeah, right. I don't know why somebody didn't tell them not to eat before they went up
breakfast,
on it.
Breakfast, yeah.
No, you know, it was a horrendous experience. But that's what all the astronauts had to go through. They had to learn how it was in weightless. The first weightless experience, you're going to throw up everything. That's your experience.
So Tom Cruise, I guess we don't know if he's going to do the Vomit Comet before he gets on the space shuttle.
I would bet he's already done it in some way, shape, or form.
It's required, you're saying,
yeah,
right?
You got it.
Yeah.
You have to do it. If you're going to do that, any of that stuff, you have to go through the experience to know how to deal with it when you are really there. And that's why the training is so extensive for all these astronauts. No matter what the experience, they have to go through every possible potential experience they would have in space before they actually do it, so they know how to get out of it. How to react to it.
But now that makes me think of the scenes in Apollo 13 where they were floating and talking to the Houston Command Center.
Right.
That actually makes me think, they were holding it in.
Yeah, right. That was all that stuff was shot in the Vomit Comet, and that was when Jay was running the space program.
That's wild.
Well, there was Corbin Burnson did a TV show for three or four seasons that was based on an astronaut's life. It was filmed at Cape Kennedy, and Jay was contacted by Clint Eastwood, and that's when they did that movie about the old guys going into space. That was actually filmed at Cape Kennedy. Remember that?
I didn't see it, but I do
it was
remember
Tommy
that
Lee
movie.
Jones, Clint mm-hmm. Eastwood, and James Garner. Were in that.
I think it was called like Wild Hogs in Space or something That's what people refer to it as.
Yeah, kind of. I think that was it. Yep. All right, movie moments. See, we did it fine without Chucker. It's good. 59 past the hour on today's deep.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.